Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome everybody to Wednesday World Games, episode number 33. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Liam Jones. Liam, I bought a new computer.
Oh, yeah!
Give us the specs, give us the deets, run them down.
I don't know the specs, but sure.
Is there liquid cooling?
Probably not.
I'm just going to go with buzzwords that I know. Liquid cooling, does it flash multiple colors?
It doesn't. I actively did not buy one that flashed multiple colors.
Well, what's the fucking
I'm not
of
a
buying,
teenager.
What's the point of buying a computer that doesn't flash multiple colors?
Most of the higher end ones are gaming PCs these days, or at least in Irish stores. And I was like, I don't want one that like turns bright yellow. I just want a freaking computer.
A freaking computer.
Yeah.
You are the Dr. Evil of the Voices of Wrestling universe.
I don't know. Oh yes, $1 million. Yeah, so it's been a bit of a calamity of errors.
Just a throwaway line of, oh yes, $1 million.
I bought because it's a tower PC, so I need a new monitor, but I accidentally bought a monitor that didn't have internal speakers.
Ooh, yeah, I did the same mistake.
So the first couple days, I had to use earphones, and then I did buy my soundbar came today, so it does in fact now have noise, which is quite pleasant. Yes, but I also accidentally deleted the entire contents of my external hard drive.
Oh, Jesus.
It's been a week. Thankfully, I've been able to recover the entire contents of my external hard drive.
How long did that take?
It took about... it's still not actually finished. It's currently... I've recovered it all onto another drive, as well as my computer, and now I'm moving it all back onto the original drive, which was corrupted. So thankfully, all like 3.2 terabytes of data has been recovered. But yeah, arduous couple of days for me, Liam.
A very tumultuous time.
Yeah, this is like the computer's fast. That's a plus. Ooh. I have that going for me.
You can do it for all of the computer games that you play on the computer.
I play no computer games on the computer. Basically, my old computer, which actually is only 2 years old, but still, it started just getting slow. And I ask a lot of computers, particularly on Tuesdays for Impact, but like it started getting slow just opening multiple tabs. And at that stage, I'm like, you must go out to pasture if you cannot keep more than like four tabs open at once.
My laptop is currently struggling with staying turned on.
Oh, that's always a plus.
Yeah, not that like it'll die, but it'll like shut down the screen to save battery while the settings say not to do that. And I'm having battery issues. It's just the battery is getting drained very quickly.
So you basically have to leave it plugged in all the time?
I have to now. And like, I think I'm roughly 3 years into this laptop, so I'm just hoping and holding.
I'll just send you my old computer through the mail. I might need it, but still.
Nope, you already promised it live on the podcast. There's no way that could be edited out.
Yes. Now, who knows who edits this thing?
Yeah, no one knows.
So anything else going on in your world other than my computer woes?
I was on a podcast. I was a guest as an esteemed member of the War Games family.
Is this your first ever podcast guest host spot?
No, I've been on podcasts before.
Oh, okay.
Like twice, I think.
So this is your third time being invited on a podcast.
Yeah, I've done like, I think I reviewed Wrestle Kingdom 10? I did a post.
That was ages ago.
Did a reaction show, and that's about it.
And how did Omakase go? Did you enjoy it?
There's lots of, yeah, I'm just going to come in here and start burying it. we talked about how John is our most prolific listener.
Yes.
Far and away.
I also, I admire the fact that John does in fact listen all the way to the end. Like, because I'm a person that tunes out for plugs. So,
although,
thank you, John.
They admitted that they didn't listen last week. So I could just regurgitate all of our points from last week's show when talking about Double or Nothing.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, Double or Nothing happened. Did you like Double or Nothing?
This is in our Double or Nothing review. I'm going to talk about it again. Yeah, I thought everything was fine at worst. I didn't hate anything.
Glowing endorsement. Everything was fine at worst.
Yeah. And the main event was amazing.
Yes, the Stadium Stampede was everything you could possibly hope it would be. Joy and happiness. I like wrestling.
All right, so now it's time for your complete and utter turnaround on Brody Lee. Please speak to the crowd.
What do you mean, complete? I think Brody Lee's a great wrestler and a terrible character. I continue to stand by that statement. He's just like, that made it all the more worse that he's this stupid, idiotic, cringy Vince McMahon character when he's such a better wrestler than that nonsense. Stop giving him a character that is worse than what he had in WWE. I take the Bludgeon Brothers over this. I want the hammers over dumbass
Vince McMahon.
What
if he brings out a hammer while being Vince McMahon?
He'll lay the hammer down on John Moxley.
John Moxley.
Yeah, so Brody Lee, the match was great. Probably a little better than I thought it would be even, especially for an empty arena
match. You
were
down on the match. You weren't hyped for it at all.
Yeah, and well, because the build was awful and I hate the character. But yeah, they had a great match.
I think that's the key. Just let Brody Lee wrestle.
Yeah, he's like this wild man wrestler. Stop making him be Vince McMahon and let him be a wrestler.
And then, because we're going in reverse order now, I also really liked the Shida Nyla Rose match.
Yes, once again, a really great women's championship match after the Nyla Rose against Riho match, which I think was probably slightly better. But still, yeah, women's title matches delivering lately.
About on the same, whatever. They're about as good as each other.
Well, yeah, if Shida and Nyla Rose had a crowd, it probably might have been better.
Well, it did have a crowd. A crowd of 40 screaming AEW maniacs.
Yeah, everyone's favorite people. The AEW maniacs, brother. What are you going to do?
The AEW Galaxy, as they were called that one year show.
Power Rangers, Lost Galaxy.
And what
good
else?
Theme song.
Oh, and Brian Cage debuted.
Yes, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, former Impact Heavyweight Champion of the World, former X Division Champion Brian Cage debuted in LA Wrestling. You're very excited because you're a big fan of Brian Cage.
He got in the ring and he immediately did Wardlow shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked up.
But that's the innate problem with Dearest Brian Cage.
That you have a younger Brian Cage right there.
Yes, but I suppose, is he younger? I don't think they're actually that far away apart in age. Wardlow.
I'll search Brian Cage's age, you set Wardlow's age.
Wardlow's 32.
Brian Cage is 36. Yeah, he's a whole 4 years younger, don't worry about it.
Yeah, which is, like, that's not, like, generationally different.
Generationally
though.
Different. Wardlow, ready to go.
It's not like, oh, put Brian Cage out the pasture, even though you'd want him to put Brian Cage out the pasture, because you hate Brian Cage. You have a real irrational hate of Brian Cage.
I don't know, man. I just don't find him particularly interesting.
Like, it's not even a case of, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I don't really like him. You hate him. You
hate
Brian
him.
Cage.
Stop saying I hate him.
You said, your exact words were, I will quit the podcast if he wins the AEW championship.
To be fair, you said something similar.
About Jay White. That's understandable.
Yeah, I was like, Jay White's going to win it. And you're like, you will quit. Jay White's better than Brian Cage.
I'd rather watch Brian Cage murder people than Jay White do. Well, actually, Jay White's a great wrestler who is also a terrible character.
Yeah, let's get into Jay White on this podcast.
The Bullet Club hasn't debuted yet. We have to wait for that.
Eventually, one day. And then Kenny can like do another thing where he talks about the lion. And then he can write some more fan fiction live on air.
And Kota will finally debut in AEW and we'll have Golden Lovers against Cold Dust.
Oh yeah, is that the dream match?
Yeah, well, in fairness, we'll talk about that. No, we'll go straight to AEW.
No, I have things. I have plans, remember?
But we're already 10 minutes in. What are your plans?
I I went to the Discord, Garrett. Interaction with our fans, you fuck.
Oh, yeah. You told me not to look.
Yeah, okay. So
you can't be like, oh, I had interaction with our fans. Don't look at it. And then shame me for
gonna
not
do
looking
it,
at it.
I'm going to do it to you now. Live on pod.
Go on.
So I went into the Wednesday War Games Discord tab. Is that what you call them? Channel?
Mm. Channels, I believe, yes.
And I said, because nothing happened on these shows.
Nothing happened on this episode of
All
Elite
Wrestling
Dynamite.
You know what? Please send in any gamer questions for Wrestling War Games.
You say that as if, like, the revival didn't debut on this
show. Nothing of interest happened
on
these shows, so we're going to answer some questions. We're going to answer some Q&As.
Fight pit!
Yeah, nothing. I say, so, John, open bracket, Omakase, close bracket, asked, when will you and Garrett review Sailor Moon?
Never. Why would I review Sailor Moon? The only anime I watch is Naruto.
Yes.
And I don't even watch that anymore.
We'll get around
to
it. We'll get back to it.
Or Garuto, as I prefer. Garuto. Yeah. I'm still paying for Crunchyroll, by the way.
I get mine for free.
Why?
Because Australia has, like, a free Crunchyroll.
That's so upsetting.
Yeah. Liam
for
D.
Crunchyroll getting five bucks a month for me for not even paying for Naruto. That's not a gamer question. That's an anime question. Is there a Sailor Moon video game?
There's definitely Sailor Moon video games. There's probably a number of Sailor Moon video games.
You're a Sailor Moon.
Liam D. McCann said, hi, Liam and Garrett. What game developer do you want to do a wrestling game? And I'm not just thinking, what developer do you want to do a game where you do matches and the wrestling? Be creative, fam. I have my answer, so you want me to say mine so you can think about it?
Nintendo.
Just Nintendo doing a wrestling game?
Nintendo would make a great wrestling... Well, they actually made Pro Wrestling on the NES. But Nintendo would actually make a great wrestling game.
I want Arc System Works to make a New Japan fighting game.
I want Nintendo to make turn Smash Bros. Into a pro wrestling game with, like, suplexes and brainbusters and shooting star presses, but you do them as Link.
So you still want Nintendo characters just doing wrestling?
Yeah, I still want, like, a Samus doing a freaking springboard 450 Dragon Runner or something.
All right, so you just want DLC for Smash that's wrestling themed?
Yeah, put him in a wrestling ring and let him do wacky moves, Sakurai. You're not doing anything at the moment. Go do it,
Garrett. This one is directed to you. What would you say to someone who accidentally threw away their copy of Breath of the Wild, hypothetically, of course, from Dustbuster?
I'd say go get a new one, even though it's still full price. Oh, Nintendo.
Joe Man sent, like, five questions, and I think two of them are video game related tangentially.
Do them all quickly, rapid fire.
Okay. How do you see Wardlow splitting from MJF? And who do you think will be the person to get him to the main event
scene? We'll talk about that in the show. The second one, we'll talk about the show.
Jungle Boy, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, MJF, and Hangman Page are the young stars AEW is hoping to cultivate. But who do you think out of the rest of the roster has a great chance of becoming a big deal? Wardlow.
Nobody else.
Do you think Santana and Ortiz can get up there as an all-time great tag team for AEW like they were for Impact?
Yes, it's basically a matter of whether or not they're pushed at that level.
Fair enough. Given that Matt Hardy started his cinematic stuff in Impact following his defeat to EC3, I wouldn't mind some retrospective thoughts from Garrett. Is the end result anywhere near what you expected or thought possible at the time?
I don't know. It's the same as it was in 2016. Like, it hasn't really developed or evolved in any meaningful way. He's still doing more or less the same thing, the same jokes he was doing in 2016, so... Yes is the answer to that question, because it's exactly what it was 4 years ago.
Finally, if Brian Cage is Wolverine, which X-Men characters do other AEW wrestlers correspond to out of the X-Men movie franchise?
All right, so John Moxley is Cyclops.
Wardlow is the Juggernaut bitch.
Yes, of course. Who else do we have? Shame it's not an Impact question, because of course Ace Austin is Gambit.
How dare you?
Leva Bates is all of the women due to her fantastic cosplay skills.
No, she's clearly just Mystique then.
That's true. Yes, that makes sense due to her chameleon like abilities.
Cody is a fucking Iceman.
Do we have any bald? Christopher Daniels is Professor X.
That actually is pretty on the money, to be fair.
Yeah. Matt Hardy is Magneto. No, Chris Jericho's Magneto. Come on.
Yeah. Darby Allin is Nightcrawler.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm trying to think. All right, I'm going to just give you AEW names and you got to tell me who they are.
All right.
Codester.
Cody is...
He's the fire guy that I forget.
Human Torch.
That's Human Torch. the guy who could, like, he had a lighter and he could fire bend. I forget his name.
I don't remember his name. I think it was Pyro.
Sounds it. The Young Bucks.
Who are a team? No, the Young Bucks are Pyro and Iceman.
No, so I already gave them. We already... All right, fine.
Sorry.
Who's Kenneth?
Kenneth is...
No, Kenneth is Cyclops, because Cyclops is the biggest dork of them all.
But I made a very funny joke about Cyclops being John Moxley because he spent most of the year running around with one eye. Kenneth is Storm. Big Storm.
Yeah, I can vibe with that. Brandy is very clearly Rogue. No, not Rogue. Phoenix. Jean Grey. Yeah. We'll end on a hot one. Who is JR?
Jim Ross is Moira McTaggart.
Says Beast.
Brian Cage is Wolverine, but he'd be a good Beast as well, especially with his blue tongue.
Self-rib.
Oh dear. Is that all our questions?
I believe that is all of the questions.
Every week we talk about AEW Dynamite, WWE NXT, AEW One last week. So we will kick off with AEW Dynamite, which also kicked off with the Young Bucks and Matt Hardy against Joey Janela and Private Party in a really fun match.
We got a cool little segment where Matt was like, I don't want this Matt Hardy. And then like 90s Team Extreme Matt Hardy came and was like, I don't want this Matt Hardy. And then what I think was meant to represent like young Matt Hardy, but he was wearing his like
Omega Matt Hardy.
Yeah, but he's wearing his 2009 key gear. Which I think was meant to be him as like young boy Matt Hardy, 18 in WWE somehow. And they decided, yes, that was the Matt Hardy they wanted.
Old school, like really young backyarder Matt Hardy.
Like when Jeff was 17 and still working WWE illegally.
Indeed. And Matt did a moonsault. He broke out a moonsault in this match. With his big Jimmy knees.
This was a really fun match.
Yeah, Matt Hardy. Say what you will about the character. Love or hate the character. Matt Hardy, bell to bell, has been really good in AEW.
Yeah, and I think this is the best his gimmick's been in forever.
He's just bouncing between characters.
Yeah, but like, I think that's a good way, because like what you've said from the start is like it's a catchphrase character. And if you can't do the catchphrases, what's the visual equivalent of the catchphrase? Doing the gag where he changes from different generations of Matt Hardy.
Indeed. The Butcher and the Blade attacked the Young Bucks after the match before the Revival or FTR or fuck the rest.
Rest. Not the best. I just wanted to give Mark Quinn some credit because I bought on his injury completely.
Oh yeah, and it was clearly just a way to get Matt Hardy out of there. Which I thought it was a nice little wrinkle to Matt Hardy's character that he would in fact sportingly help his opponent
and
out.
And from the start, he was worried about it. I also thought Isaiah Cassidy did a really good job of selling it too, because before he came back in and he took the finish and lost, he was screaming to like Mark Quinn, like, "Come on, you can do it. We're almost there." And like, I thought that was really believable.
Whereas the second their post-match attack was there, me and my galaxy brain, I was like, "Oh, that's why they had him do the injury."
Mm.
But yes, the Revival showed up. How do you feel about the Revival showing up another crowd, Liam?
This was the... Okay, like, at the start, I said that I was very, like, adamant. We keep everything off until you have a crowd to pop for it, right? No title changes, no turns, no debuts. But we just, like, this is the new reality. You can't hold off on everyone for another 2 months, another 3 months. You just have to do the best you can do. And I think this was, like, the best way they could debut someone in front of a non-important crowd. You know what I mean?
And the bigger problem is you don't know whether it's going to be 2 months or 3 months. It could be 5 months. It could be 6 months. You really don't know when
it could
all
kick back up again and we could go into a second run of this shit.
Yeah, so you can't really just sit in a holding pattern anymore. You just kind of have to start moving on. Like, and, like, yeah, they had the 40 people there who cheered and made it feel
special.
They got a
decent... AEW's been so perfect with their presentation of their shows, I feel. Like, even when something like this happens, they still popped enough that you're like, oh, shit, there's a pop for it. It's not 10,000 people shitting themselves, but it's the closest you're going to get.
It's 40 people shitting themselves, but yeah, it's noise. I'm actually talking about NXT's approach to the crowd on the back half of the show, which I have points to make about NXT's approach to crowds on multiple levels.
But I liked the Revival's car.
It was better than Cody's car and more meaningful than Cody. At least it looked like they actually drove into the building as opposed to Cody's, where he literally just drove 3 feet.
Because you could feel Cody come from a stopped position. Like, at least the Revival seemed like they were driving in.
They just got there, as opposed to Cody, who was like five. He literally got in the car and drove 5 feet. It's stupid, but you know, alas.
And unlike some of the other jumps to AEW, like, I feel like FTR felt the most at home immediately.
Well, they've been building this angle on Twitter for 4 years. They've
been building it longer than AEW's been around.
Much longer than AEW's been around. So there you go. A Revival showed up.
Yeah, and I'm very excited. I'm glad it happened, because I was like, oh, really? We're going back to Butcher and the Blade against the Bucks? That was like their debut feud, basically.
I was thinking, poor Butcher and the Blade are always just like props for whatever story. It's like, you're MJF's guys. Now you're just guys for the Revival to beat up.
And now you're like, probably going to start feuding with the Natural Nightmares on Dark.
Yeah. Well, is Ali still associated with them? Because she's doing her own thing now.
Yeah, but my assumption was that, like, that's going to be the eventual play is going to be them against Butcher and Blade. And, like, it's going
to
be...
Not building to an Ali against Brandy feud?
Yes, but with the tag teams being the representatives of them.
A big big all-out six-person tag?
Maybe all-out buy-in.
Hey, don't you take the bunny off of All Out.
She's not the bunny anymore. Checkmate.
John Moxley entered to join commentary. Or do you have more things to say?
I just wanted to say, it was overall, I thought it was a really good first 25 minutes to the show.
Yeah, good match, good angle. What more can you want post-pay-per-view? Especially post-pay-per-view, which generally seems to fall into like the last time, the post-pay-per-view show was very kind of low-key resetting the table. And this one, it's like, ooh, big moments.
Was it? Last time had Jake Roberts debut.
Well, Jake Roberts, yeah. Who do you want? Jake Roberts or the Revival?
Well... Which one of them's going to whip their snake out on TV?
John Moxley joined commentary as Brian Cage squashed Lee Johnson.
Oh, Lee Johnson, Lee Johnson, our boy.
He is such good. I'm almost so upset when I see how good his gear is. And he has like multiple different versions of this gear. And it's better than like 90% of wrestlers. And he's like enhancement talent on AEW. So what are you doing the rest of the wrestlers?
I'm a big fan of AEW Dark.
I'm not. It's a squash match show that's perfectly meaningless, and it's fine.
It's
but
fun.
Like, nah.
You see some cool people in there. You see Moosa. You see Grimm. What are your thoughts on Grimm?
Big friends of Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I know. Part of the close knit circle of Mike Tyson.
That's how they got to AEW.
You see Wardlow. He was on the last Dark.
Yeah, but they're just doing pointless squashes, and that's fine.
Yeah, pointless
squashes
are fun.
Don't ever need to watch it. Not a freaking 11 of them in a row.
Yeah, but what do you want, 11 15-minute matches in a row?
No, I'd take like 3 matches, but like 11 of the same kind of match, back to back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's just excruciating. Especially in front of nobody, it's even more excruciating.
Yeah, because they don't even have the 40 people in the crowd because they're all wrestling.
All the Dark Brigade are wrestling. Though all the Dark Brigade made Dynamite tonight, so there you go.
Good work, lads. Yeah, no Alan Angels, unfortunately.
This was a really good squash, I thought. Like, Brian Cage, he's best served, I think, in environments where he's Mr. Get His Shit In. So, like, you know, when he's just there to get his shit in, I think he's much better than when perhaps he has to carry entire matches by himself.
It was a minute of him doing moves.
Yeah, and he killed the guy with the drill claw, which always looks like a phenomenal move, to be fair.
Yeah.
You hate Brian Cage, so you can't even be like, the Steiner screwdriver is cool?
I mean, the Steiner Michinoku driver that he does.
That's what the drill claw is.
No, the Steiner screwdriver is like a sit-out tombstone. If done cool and by Scott Steiner.
It's the same move.
One's a tombstone, one's a driver onto like the back, and he half the time hits it. It's like a sheer drop Falcon Arrow.
Do you want him to actually drop people on their head?
Scott Steiner did, and it was cool.
That's fair. You and your relentless vendetta against poor Brian Cage. He's doing his best.
He'll probably have a good match with Mox.
Taz got a good promo after the match as well. Taz, good promo. Who'd have thunk it?
Beat him if you can. Survive if he lets you. But Cage's music is terrible, though.
Oh, I hate the Path of Cage stuff as well. It's not good at all.
Because the natural like thing is like him and Kenny, right? Like, because the didn't, like, just add the didn't.
And he's been. Not building, but angling is the word I'm looking for. He's been angling for a match with Kenny for years now.
When Kenny's the champ and he needs to, like, have a first title defense, Cage is a good option.
It's weird, though. They debuted, what's his name? The guy with the Dark Order, Brody Lee.
That was on purpose. Don't you even claim that that was, like, he actually left your mind.
They debuted Brody Lee, and he lost what's his name? They debut Brian Cage, and I assume he's just going to lose the Mox. It's a weird way to debut two guys who you'd like, in theory, who you'd be pushing as like unstoppable monsters.
I mean, it's if they do a similar finish to the Brody Lee finish, I don't think Cage loses anything from losing that way.
But like, it's still his first major match, though. Do you want these guys losing their first major match, both of them?
I don't think it really matters in the long term. I think you lose a bit of that, like, guy finally overcoming the person, but like, I also don't know if that matters that much anymore.
But I still think those are it's those two guys in particular, though, like the big unstoppable monster Brian Cage and the big unstoppable
Lance Archer
cult leader. Yeah, all these people are losing their first feuds, which I get there's people there that they want to push, but I think that's a problem with the way they set these people coming into two big programs at the start.
That's the problem with doing that in general, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so they sort of eased these people into lower card programs before having them lose to Cody or Cage or to Moxley or Moxley again.
Yeah, we'll see.
Britt Baker is telling you about the rules to be a role model role with two L's now because she's in a wheelchair. Very good point.
Britt Jericho.
I thought the content of this was good, but the delivery wasn't particularly good.
I don't know. I was entertained throughout, so... Tony hates her.
Tony's the best. Tony's just like, ah.
Tony was like one step of doing his what the fuck again.
Well, she did. She nearly said, get the fuck out of my way in the second, didn't she?
And Rebel was there again. Rebel's getting on the screen.
Menagerie to tributes.
Good stuff. I like, I was going to say, I almost called her Statlander. I like Baker still. And she'll be back at All Out, which is, I think, way longer than what Tony Big TK said on the presser.
Well, All Out is in theory, what, September? Yeah, it's 4 months away.
Yeah, and so he said it would be 2 months max for her injury, so.
Maybe they saw like this is a good angle for her, so they should basically just keep her in a wheelchair for another 2 months.
Hey, and she doesn't have to go bump around, so.
Or wrestle.
I like how it, like her conspiracy bit was like was a complete like homage.
I did enjoy the bit where she was like, Aubrey Edwards was there for the first one, and she was there for the second one, and she was somewhere for the third one.
I was like, wow, was Aubrey really at all three? Oh no, it wasn't. It's just a good bit.
Yeah, it's a good bit. Yeah, I thought this could have been trimmed slightly. I think you should put the Brit in the more backstage. Or
I was gonna say,
or,
just, like, this should have been a pre-tape scenarios instead of being out on the ramp.
So you can get rid of like awkward pauses where she's like, Rebel, go get my board. And then she just sits there and there's silence for like 30 seconds as Rebel goes and gets her board. But yes, Britt is certainly better than she used to be.
Yeah, she's really found herself in this heel character. I think like she was always meant to do the heel shtick.
Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle were cutting a promo before Orange Cassidy walked across their shot. Jericho's and then they were like, ah! Jericho was mad. I'll be furious, in fact. Not very mad. I'll be furious if they do Chris Jericho against Orange Cassidy without a crowd. That's one you do save. Do not do that without an audience.
Jericho and Sammy versus Orange Cassidy and Mike Tyson.
They should do that. And then Jericho should knock out Mike Tyson.
Well,
with
isn't,
Judas
like, didn't Tyson say like his favorite thing? Oh, no, it was Nakazawa. I think I said this last time. I keep thinking it's Orange, but it's Nakazawa that he loves.
So what you're saying is it should be...
Yes.
Tyson and Nakazawa, yes, against Jericho and Sammy.
Nakazawa got his first win on Dark. I'll have you know.
Good for him.
Beating Brandon Cutler.
Brandon Cutler and Peter Avalon on their race to the bottom.
Yes, I really hope that's an all-out buy-in match. And they're both just...
Like, that's actually...
And then it's a draw.
That's a good story. That's a good use of the rankings to be like, these guys never won a match and they're desperate.
I like how it's like, they're below even Lee Johnson.
Yeah. Lee should win all his matches.
That's the next key is to have them lose to like your Lee Johnsons and your Allen Angels.
Yeah, before they eventually do wrestle each other. Like that will legitimately be an all-out match that'll have stakes and importance.
Well,
if that's
it added
the story
a
they tell
fire
all the way
to a pretty nothing battle royal. So
we'll talk about the battle royal in a minute. Sheeta defeated Christy Janes in it was fine. Yep. It was a little long for the newly crowned champion in a match against the nobody, but other than that.
We're getting a lot of HBO Max plugs on this show.
We are, which, do you think, what's going on? Fyter Fest is coming up next. Do you think that's going to be on HBO Max?
As long as it's on Fyter, I don't care.
Yeah, once I have access to it, because we don't have HBO Max here, who cares? Yeah,
but, like, HBO Max is a pretty big deal. I'm getting that impression.
It's the Warner Media streaming service.
Schneider Cut's going to be on it. And if it's like,
yes,
hey, all you nerds, stick around and watch John Moxley versus Brian Cage. Sure.
Sure. Warner would be mad not to try and get AEW pay-per-views on that service. Or at least like Dynamite VOD on that service should be a no-brainer.
If HBO Max means that we get like a mini pay-per-view in between the big fours, I'll be all for it, because I just think these four-month stretches are just way too fucking long.
6 weeks is ideal. I've screamed that from the rooftops. It's like 2 months too long, four weeks can be a little too short. 6 weeks, perfect window.
Yeah, so if we can start getting like a B-tier pay-per-view every 6 weeks or so, and it's on HBO Max, I'll be all for it. Because like, it's why, even though they do these like mini pay-per-view equivalents on TV, like what Blood and Guts I assume would have been, Bash at the Beach, stuff like that, and the Jericho Cruise, I don't like having tunnel vision to these like things that are just way out of the sight. Like, I need something to like get my teeth stuck. It's like how when we were complaining about NXT and their build to war games, how just every week kind of felt aimless.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit kind of like, it's like that when there's something so far away, there's just nothing that's seemingly coming up. You need to have something to build to in like the immediate vicinity.
It gives everything structure.
Yeah. And maybe that's just because, you know, we grew up on WWE one pay-per-view every 4 weeks. And like that, we're just accustomed to. We need to have a pay per view. We need to have a pay per view. We need to have a pay per view. But well, maybe I am. But I do. I want one still. Even if that is the case, that's a whole generation of people that are accustomed to it.
And I like, as I said, I think that format works from a storytelling perspective. I think wrestling stories generally peak in 4 to 6 weeks. Anything longer, you're stretching it out. Anything shorter, you're rushing it.
And plus, I always, TV inherently is always going to feel like slightly less of a big deal, even if it's a big match on TV. It's going to feel bigger if it's headlining a pay-per-view than if it's headlining a random TV with a title defense.
And the funny thing is, more people will watch the TV show, but like more people will have interest in the pay-per-view. You see that in the Wrestling Digital numbers every single time. Like pay-per-view numbers, interest goes through the roof compared to television, in which more people watch it, but it's like seen as less important. It's perceived as less important. People consume it as something that is less important. And maybe that's conditioning. So maybe if the AEW spend years conditioning people to expect big TV matches to be big and important. Well,
like,
and
I think that's a middle ground. Like, especially if you're going to do a pay-per-view every 6 to 8 weeks, like now that they have these B-tier pay-per-views, if you still have like a big Mox title defense 3 weeks in, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be, we need a big title match every single week, but like, you know, give us a, like the Haker match, I think, despite you not liking it, I think that's a good halfway point.
Indeed.
To just have a random B-tier title defense before you go on to someone else.
During the break, they were filming Kenny Omega and Hangman Page in their dressing room. And
with his giant jug of milk on ice.
Indeed, as one does. Ice and milk. What's he doing? What's he doing?
Oh, you haven't done that?
No.
You haven't had like an iced chocolate before?
No.
Where you just have milk and ice and then like chocolate flavored stuff and then you have like cream and such, yeah. It's like a milkshake, but it's waterier.
It's like a milkshake, but worse.
Ah, I think they're refreshing. They're much easier. Yeah. It's like an iced coffee, except it's chocolate. But I don't drink coffee, so.
It was very amusing. Paige spotted the camera, and he was like, what the hell is this?
he was in their hotel room.
AEW spy. I hope that's like a long-term angle. It's like, it's actually somebody debuting who's actually stalking
Paige and Omega. It's another hacker.
Yes, there's so many hackers on all of these wrestling shows. Cody comes out, cuts his big promo. He's like, I'm champion now. Look at me. I'm so cool. Tom Brady's my best friend. Open challenges.
Yeah, I was like, wouldn't you pick, like, I don't know, a Jaguars quarterback?
Hey, yeah, there's no loyalty to Tony Khan's family's football team.
There was literally a match on the pitch. Do Americans call it the pitch?
I think they go for field, yeah. But let's stick with pitch because we're not Americans.
They did a match on the pitch and there was the mascot was there.
And you got Judas Effect, which was amazing.
Oh, and you had the cheerleaders dancing to Judas. I think I found a new kink.
Liam's just going to be playing that nonstop.
Whew.
Yeah, good. I think open challenges slightly played out, and also doing announcing an open challenge gimmick when there's a battle royal on the show for number one contendership doesn't make a ton of sense.
Well, it's in the future. I actually like it because I think it's a good differentiating factor between the world title and the TNT title.
I don't mind them defending them. I think that the open challenge thing, WWE hit on it with Cena, and it worked with Cena. And, like, every mid-card champion now does an open challenge every, like, 6 weeks.
But this is every week. Every single week.
It's nearly that bad sometimes. And, like, yeah, it's just one of those things WWE has done too much so that I wouldn't do it.
I don't know. I'm kind of into it. And I think it gives Cody something to do and an excuse to have Cody on TV every week.
Well, do you need an excuse to have Cody on TV every week?
Well, there's been weeks where Cody hasn't appeared in any way at all. Like, it gives you a guaranteed Cody match.
Oh, that's what I'm looking for. That's a guaranteed Cody match.
Their fan base is looking for.
Mr. 50-50 himself. Well, Cody, yeah.
But Cody said that he likes the silver belt, and he is wrong.
Yeah, that belt is horrendous.
Yeah, get some gold plating on that bitch.
We then entered the AEW Dark portion of the show as Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc defeated Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky in a number one contendership match, which that made no sense because they're not even in the top five contenders at the moment. Neither of these teams are. There's obviously Best Friends, who are number one contenders.
Natural Nightmares.
Yes. Natural Nightmares, the Young Bucks, the Dark Order, and who are the Lucha Bros, I think, are the four teams that are ranked ahead of these two teams. Okay. And for some reason, these two teams are having a number one contenders match.
To be fair, two of those teams can't wrestle at the moment.
Still. The Young Bucks can. They were on the show.
Yeah, but they're in a feud.
But that's not how that. That's no, not how in rankings
a,
work.
Garrett, you forget. They're in a feud.
But with who?
With FTR and the Butcher and the Blade.
So and then the Natural Nightmares, who are also apparently
It should have been a three-way tag. It should have been Natural Nightmares, just Kip and Havoc. I guess. I like Kip and Havoc.
Why? What? Neither of these teams are in the top five. This is actually the first time we've talked about rankings in weeks and weeks and weeks, because it's the first time it's been even remotely relevant on this television show.
They don't.
But if you use them, you have to make them make sense, and you can't have two teams who are ranked out of the top five having a number one contenders match.
Extenuating circumstances, okay?
Fight you. Havoc and Sabian won. They face up Megan Page next week.
Imagine if Havoc and Sabian win.
They're tag champs.
And then they face Best Friends for the tag belts at Fighter Fest.
Oh, I'll stop watching this show.
I like Kip and Havoc together better than separate.
Yeah, but they should only do Plunder.
Well, yeah, next week, make it a Plunder match. They would have a really fun Plunder match with Kenny and Hangman. And set it in a bar.
I have faith that they'll have a really good match with Kenny and Hangman in general, but that's because Kenny and Hangman are a very good tag team.
The best tag team in the world.
We had an MJF promo, which, who cares about MJF? The most important thing, here was they teased the dissension between Wardlow and MJF.
It's too soon.
I think, honestly, it's not soon enough. He should turn on him next week and then beat MJF, and MJF should be just kicked back to MLW.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
No, it's not. It's too soon to even remotely tease something. Like, this shouldn't happen for 2 years, never mind 2 months.
But now that we've learned Wardlow's 32, maybe it is time. this should have been a bigger deal. Maybe they're just going to set it up and they won't deliver it for like another year. But
and maybe like it depends how often they tease something like this. Whether it's
it gets dropped for like 3 months and then they bring it up again, maybe.
So yeah, they should basically like each period between dissensions should decrease. So like the next one should be in 4 months, then 3 months, then 2 months, and then eventually he snaps.
Maybe they've realized that. Dissension has like been their best star maker so far, because it's worked with Hangman.
Yeah, this should have Wardlow kill him. Wardlow should beat Jon Moxley. This should be the Wardlow.
Wardlow
show
should answer the open challenge and beat Cody instead of MJF.
I've abandoned my in very particular circumstances.
Yes, because Wardlow is the fucking sickest. Well, then now that we're here, Garrett, shall we roll back to Droman's question? Which was, how do you see Wardlow splitting from MJF, and who do you think will be the person to get him to the main event scene? The answer is Kenny Omega. Continue.
They should do another Battle Royal like this MJF eliminates Wardlow after Wardlow does all the heavy lifting, and then he snaps.
And then who do you think is the feud that gets Wardlow over the top?
Well, it's Kenny Omega. Come on.
Because Kenny's going to make a star out of anyone they need him to, in like, especially like 2 years down the track, once he's been world champion three times.
Speaking of battle royals, we had the biggest nerd battle royal in the history of Dynamite. It had all of the nerds.
Orange Cassidy, MJF, Wardlow,
Billy. It had Billy, Luther, Luchasaurus, Billy, Marcus Dunn,
no spaces.
which is a tribute to Billy and Chuck, of course. Brandon Cutler, Peter Avalon, Sonny Kiss, Daniels, and Jungle Boy, won by Jungle Boy. So many nerds. Dark showed up in force.
Did you see the Dark clip? I'm talking about AEW Dark a lot. Did you see the Dark clip of Sonny Kiss's like axe kick?
No.
It was so fucking sick and so brutal. It was like that, like that flip downward like kick and just murdered.
Sonny Kiss is one of the few Dark people that I would like to see on Dynamite more.
Yeah. Well, like, they're doing a team with Sonny and Joey as, like, South Jersey scumbags.
As one does.
So, like, a bit more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, Jungle Boy won. The Jungle Boy and Orange Cassidy had a fun little closing stretch, otherwise this match was abysmal.
Santana Ortiz beat up OC.
Yes, so Orange Cassidy will be, in fact, feuding with the Inner Circle.
Which I assume means the best friends will be feuding with them too. No best friends on this show.
Well, they have their tag match coming out. I did like Chuck tweeted, a number one contendership match, have I been fired?
Yeah.
Which brings us to our show closing angle.
Hell yeah. It's Inokiism time, baby.
As Jericho and the Inner Circle had a fun little pep rally, the highlight of which was that they printed Inner Circle Wins Stadium Stampede t-shirts. And they like dumped them
really
off.
They should
crowd.
Be selling the jerseys.
I want one of the jerseys, Liam. I'm so upset they're not selling them yet.
I would frame the jersey.
I would buy an Inner Circle jersey.
Yeah. Who gives a... Let's just ignore the first 10 minutes of the segment.
Yeah, I thought it was the first 10 segments, 10 minutes.
I mean, it's good Chris Jericho fun.
Then Mike Tyson as his crew came out.
Yeah.
I thought the pull apart was good. I'll give him that. But the build up to the pull apart was like the cringiest, most awful thing I've seen on this show in a long time.
That's because Mike Tyson didn't give a shit.
He did not take it seriously. Who was the guy next to him? Have we worked out who the guy next to him was?
Apparently, he's some like dude who's like just some rich kid, like. Who's like lives off his like I don't know if like lives off his dad's money, but like lives off his dad's fame or whatever and notoriety, and he's just like in Tyson's crew.
He had no business on television. Like the fact that whoever was like Tony Khan apparently runs Gorilla. The fact that Tony Khan saw him and let him walk out his entrance tunnel.
Everyone else, I think it's fine. Especially like that. Henry Cejudo, who should have got way more play for being out there. Someone who was a multi-division UFC champion like 2 weeks ago.
I don't know all these UFC people. They're
Garrett, even so, you surely can understand the magnitude of having someone who was a two-division champion, a really recognizable fighter, was 2 weeks ago, and like he
we
barely
to
got
focus
any play.
On the doof with the next to him. He's just it's fine. Don't worry about it.
And Excalibur tried so hard because he's like, oh, Henry Cejudo's there. Henry Cejudo. Oh, Henry Cejudo's getting the fight. But he's like, come on. Rashad Evans was there. Rashad Evans is really cool, and Victor Belfort was also there.
No good. Like the idea is to get mainstream publicity. The idea is for this clip to go everywhere, and you don't want this clip going everywhere. You don't want that clip of Tyson doing the weird flexing and smiling.
His
thing
weird
in Jericho's
mate
face.
With fucking eyeliner on.
Yeah, you do not like. If I were AEW, the clip I sent to the media would be cut the second the pull apart starts.
Yeah,
no earlier.
Yeah, which I think they did, to be fair.
Well, the clip they posted on TNT started from, or the TNT Twitter started from.
They posted
Tyson's
two of them.
Entrance. So they should have trimmed that down.
CNN covered it, and you know, in their WWE section.
But like, I'm personally, I've always been of the opinion these celebrity things never work, and you shouldn't do them.
I mean,
because like you want people to think Kenny Omega is a mainstream star. You don't want to bring mainstream stars to make people think Kenny Omega is a mainstream star.
It's the exact complaint we had we were talking about the Game Awards.
Yeah,
when Vin Diesel comes out and goes, and they all go, "Whoa, there's a real celebrity here!" Like, look, there's a real actor. Fuck all these other guys. Look, there's a real one. And he's going to talk about his video game. He does movies. Because movies are better than video games. That's what this was.
Yeah. I assume this is actually built into a match, at least.
Yeah, if you just assume All Out is going to be Jericho Tyson in some manner.
Jericho's the right person to do that with, even if I don't think I want it.
It'll get some mainstream buzz.
Him actually doing a match should.
The idea is, like, you go in to watch Tyson Jericho and you stick around to watch Omega and Moxley or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you go, ooh, who's this guy?
But realistically, what will happen is the people who like boxing don't like wrestling, so they're just not going to watch wrestling.
Well,
you know?
The thing is, like, Tyson does have that reach where he's no longer just the boxing fan guy. Like, there's a lot of people who just know Tyson for being Tyson.
From The Hangover.
Well, yeah, like, there's a lot of people who know him from The Hangover. Like, Tyson's just one of those figures now where it's reach out beyond the sport.
Honestly, his crew felt very like something out of The Hangover.
Moosa and Grimm.
Yes. I like the idea that Tyson watches Dark every week and he's like, these guys.
These are my boys. Posse. No Allen Angels. What the fuck?
I think a decent episode of Dynamite.
Yeah. There was
I would say inconsistent.
The first 25 minutes were definitely the highlight.
The Cage Squash was good. Some of the promos were good. The freaking Battle Royal was awful, and the main event segment was pretty bad.
We've gone so long without Hangman. I would have liked some Hangman.
Well, you're getting him in a tag title match next week.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, though? It's like, we already went 2 months without Hangman wrestling in a ring.
He wrestled on a horse.
Yeah, who called that shit?
He didn't do a buckshot off a horse, though.
There was like 3 spots in that Stadium Stampede match that I called before they happened. And I was like, did I write this segment?
That probably just tells you that they did a very good job executing that segment if the stuff they did made sense and you were thinking about it beforehand.
Well, I'm definitely the guy that they're, like, aiming for. The guy's like, oh, this guy will get all the memes.
You're a meme.
I am a meme. He heard it here first.
On the topic of memes, that takes us to WWE NXT.
Biggest meme of all.
God, it opened with Drake Maverick defeating Kushida and Jake Atlas to qualify for the finals of the Cruiserweight Championship Tournament. I hated this finish.
It just doesn't make sense for Drake Maverick, because you want to root for him. You don't want him to be getting through by the skin of his teeth. The whole story with Drake Maverick is that you want to see him fighting and fighting and earning his spot back, and then he gets cut off at the end. You're meant to feel really bad for him. But he's not fighting. He's, like, getting through because other people are fucking up.
Yeah, the fluke win against Kushida, slipping a banana peel, and this week where Kushida has Jake Atlas in the armbar, and Drake Maverick just rolls his arm. Like, I'd still hate it if it was like, I think it would be a bad finish if it was just Drake Maverick put his hand over Atlas and pinned him, but the fact that Atlas also tapped out before the three made it like even less of a legitimate win for the plucky underdog babyface. It's just so stupid.
By the same pinning logic, Kushida was pinning him with his legs.
yes, Kushida should have been pinning him. So it's a draw. It's one of those finishes that's just like, look how creative this is. And then you think for a single solitary second about it, and you're like, it doesn't make sense on a logical level. It doesn't make sense on a booking level, and it doesn't make sense on a character level.
Yeah, well, the character thing was like out of the window completely. But there was a way to do the actual finish and make it logical. But it's just they chose to do it in the most skin of your teeth, bare minimum shit possible.
And WWE are doing their shitty ass exploitative storyline where they fired a guy and brought him back and made him fight for his job, and they can't even do that story well. They can't even do their shitty exploitative story properly. This company is so bad. They can't even do a good underdog babyface story fighting for his career without completely undermining it.
Jake Atlas had cool gear.
And they're like, no, I'm not done. And then they it repeatedly underlines that they don't understand what makes Rockstar good as a performer, that they feel like he needs to get those cheap ways out every time. They don't understand what makes him special. They don't understand why people connect with him, so they can't have him win legitimately because he's small.
Even by going through the whole logical character build, which should be, you know, he's fighting people who are better than him, but he's getting there, and he's getting the wins through his hard determination, and he's getting there, and he's climbing. The obvious conclusion to that is you have someone in the finals who is an absolutely despisable heel who you're like, oh, he has to beat this guy and he has to get through him, but I don't think he can. But it's like, no, you've just had some dude. Some dude is at the end.
It's Phantasma. Another baby face. It's not even a heel. It's a baby face.
Like, the final boss should have been some heel that you're like, we're rooting for him, and he's going to get there, he's going to get there, but he has to get through this one bad guy, the worst guy in the tournament. But it's like, no, didn't do that.
They can't. They just can't tell stories. They don't know how to do it anymore. Like, they just don't know how to do it anymore.
And kidnappings.
There's more kidnappings, sure. Yay. Triple Threat in your house announced. It'll be Charlotte, Rhea, and Io for the title. There you go. You excited?
Should be another person in there after tonight.
Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae came out and cut a promo. This is where the crowd very much annoyed me, because the crowd obnoxiously overbooed him. And I'm just like, shut up.
Well, they were just upset because they were standing for 10 hours.
That's true. This is a protest against WWE forcing these poor people to stand there all day. But, like, I've never bumped on the way AEW's crowd behaves, because they don't really... One, they're further back, so you hear them more as, like, a cacophony of noise, as opposed to, you know, right up against the barricade rail.
Probably because they're allowed to sit down.
that does help. But, like, even WWE can't do putting people at ringside to make noise without them just overdoing it in a way that's annoying.
You know what's funny? The first match, I didn't even notice there was a crowd.
I ranted about the match. I thought the actual action of the match was actually pretty good.
Yeah, like, but I was watching the match and I didn't even occur to me for a second that there was people in the crowd cheering or booing or whatever.
Stuck behind their plexiglass, Liam. Maybe you couldn't see through the plexiglass.
It's bloody JR took a bit of a dig at them today, huh?
Yeah, go JR.
The war rages on.
Speaking of open challenges, Johnny Gargano introduced the Johnny Gargano Invitational, which was answered by Adrian Alanis, in whom he promptly squashed.
With the Johnny Gargano Invitational, does he have, like, a big box out the back, and they all put, like, write their name, and they put it in there, because that's how he gets it? Or did he just, like, see someone write their name on it and go, this is the guy?
I would imagine his Invitational is entirely a sham, and he just picked this guy to die. His whatever Evolve member.
I would like there to be a ballot box out the back.
A sign-up sheet?
Yeah, and everyone just puts their name in, and he just... and then he brings the name out.
Mia Yim and Keith Lee spoofed the Gargano and Candice LeRae dinner segments.
They pointed out how stupid it is.
Which is nice. Well, I suppose it's heels, so it's fine pointing out how stupid the heels are.
But it's like, they point out how, like, the editing of the segments are dumb.
Well, maybe they did the dumb editing of the segments to then satirize it. Yeah, it's the long-term NXT storytelling that we're not giving credit to.
They had empty plates.
Mia said, like, Candice, you've been around here forever, but you haven't won titles. Neither have you!
You've both been around roughly the same time.
You can't throw shade at Candice for not winning a title. You haven't either.
It's true.
But alas, those are... Well, Johnny and Keith Lee's a takeover match. It's Mia and Candice isn't yet, is it?
The buy-in.
The takeover outside your house. It hasn't started yet.
The takeover backyard match.
Yes, indeed.
They better bring out the old in-your-house, like, set.
Set.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Shotzi Blackheart and Raquel Gonzalez. Poor Shotzi. Catch dives! Would you catch dives? I'm so sick of watching these wrestling shows and seeing people not catch dives. And I saw someone posit the theory that it happens more often when you put two people to catch a dive because, you know, people don't take accountability.
They rely too much on the other person to do it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Raquel is going to catch him.
But to be fair, Raquel probably should catch him more.
Yes. But, like, it's just catch people. For the love of God, can we start catching people?
God, that was a rough one.
This happened so much in the last couple of years where people have just stopped catching dives. And people are like, oh, dives are dangerous. It's like, they're not. It's like you're supposed to just come down harmlessly because the people below you are supposed to be trained professional wrestlers who can catch you.
It's as dangerous as anything else is.
Yeah, it's probably less dangerous than taking a regular bump if you have professionals below you who are going to catch you.
It probably does happen more when there's a huge crowd because they're just like, ah, someone else will get him.
Take accountability, wrestlers. Come on.
Of course, Dakota Kai got in the tank.
Stole the tank. Didn't shoot anything.
And then, yeah.
Tegan Knox came out.
And she had pizza earlier in the day.
She did. Which is why she probably wasn't wrestling.
She was full. Candice showed up.
Keep going.
And then that happened. And then there was a match. you know.
Liam has so much to say about NXT. We had a video package for Damian Priest versus Finn Balor. Oh, yeah, go on.
Damian Priest. Oh, I went Scottish immediately. I was practicing this earlier. Oh, I have to go like, the snake's in the back. The snake's in the back. I'm gonna bury you.
You still went Scottish.
I know. I practiced this. Okay, I have to go like really offensively Irish first. So like, I have go like, oh, hoity-toity, fucking, yeah, border door. And then and go from there very to go racist. Like, oh, hoity-toity, oh, fucking bury you. Oh, there you go.
There you go. You didn't slip in the Scottish.
He's going to bury him.
He's going to bury
for him. For the boys. I just turned into Drew McIntyre. Oh, the boys in the back.
Oh, I hate Finn.
That's next. No, actually,
I now kind of ironically enjoy Finn.
Oh, yeah, because it's so over the top now. It's funny.
Charlotte Flair and Chelsea Green defeated Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai. So we did those two DQ finishes so that Charlotte could just go and pin Io in this match. She had her feet in the ropes, but still. She just pinned her. We couldn't pin her last week. We have to pin her now.
I hope Io pinned Charlotte now.
And like, they put Chelsea Green in this match. Have Chelsea take the fall, for the love of God.
It's going to be Rhea beats Io. And then Charlotte's going to fuck off back to Raw.
I'm going to be so upset if Charlotte does not take the fall in that match. I will be mad online.
And then Chelsea Green fired Tony Khan.
Poor Robbie E got sacked. Chelsea had one event of success and then she fired her manager.
He's going to have to run back to Aaliyah.
Hey, remember me?
You want to be a part of the team?
He should bring in Rob Terry. You should just bring in Robbie T, and they should run rough. And Robbie T should be the Wardlow of NXT.
Hey.
Just like Raquel is the Mel of NXT.
How dare you?
Then they will run wild.
Wardlow.
Welsh Wardlow.
I'll bring back Big Barry.
Who?
Mason Ryan.
Why did you call him Big Barry?
Because he's Barry Griffithish. Barry Griffith something? That's his name on the indies.
Why do you know Mason Ryan's name?
Because he was TW.
Fair enough. I thought that this match was actually pretty good. It was a good match.
I don't remember it.
There you go. Ton to say about WWE NXT.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about the next segment.
Oh, Cole and Regal? You're super into that?
I don't want to. It's just, who could care, ever? It's going to be a cinematic match.
It will be a cinematic match. Regal announced that Cole will face a Velveteen Dream at a location of Regal's choosing.
It's going to be the Velveteen Nightmare.
It's going to be a Velveteen Nightmare.
It's going to be a Velveteen Nightmare, and it's going to be in a literal house.
And what if he wins?
I refuse.
Why is he getting another title shot? I don't like that William Regal, Man of Fairness, is like, oh, this man is going to get another title match.
He's a babyface because he's like, well, he was screwed out of it. He's going to face him in a house, and all of the Undisputed Era are not going to be able to get into the house. And they're going to be like trying to get into the door, and they're just going to be failing. And then they're going to go into like a bedroom or something, and then Dexter Lumis is going to like appear from under a bed.
They won't have the In Your House set on the show itself, but they will fight in the In Your House set. That will be the match.
The In Your House set will lead to an actual house. And I think it's going to start like in the ring, and they're going to fight in front of the In Your House set. They're going to open the door, and they're going to magically transport into an actual house. Probably an actual house of an NXT viewer, in quotation marks, who are watching the show, and then they're going to fight there, and then Dexter Lumis is going to appear from under a bed.
I'm into it.
If this happens, I quit.
I think we'd be all royalties at this stage.
From both companies. Just let it be known. I've said it now. That's Liam's lock of the week. When is this show?
June 7th. Takeover. There you go. Only Lorcan and Danny Burch had a feature. They've only been around for 4 years and they're finally telling us who they are.
Having a beer with the boys.
I like the way they're like, we're on a roll now. They won two matches against Ever-Rise. And it's like, yeah, we're the best team in this company. That's likely the takeover match, them against Imperium. So there you go.
That'll be a good match, though. That'll be the tradition of NXT TakeOvers having like a 4-star tag match to open the show.
Yeah, probably will be. Ciampa squashed Leon Ruff before then cutting a promo. The other way around. Killer Cross cut a promo on him while Scarlett watched on.
You know what? I'll give Ciampa some credit. He's a fun squash guy to watch. Because he just does knees and shit.
Hits his knees and then hits his angel's wings and everyone's happy.
So, Garrett, we didn't talk about this before, but the big Twitter rumor is that Cold Contract's coming up
in the summer.
Do you think there's even remote chance that we on AEW Dynamite Adam Cole returns from the dead, because he is canonically dead in the Elite verse?
Like, there should be an offer for him. He's a big star.
You should offer. I think
so. AEW is already pretty full. They don't have a lot of roster spots. They can't just keep adding people.
They have a lot of mid card and below. They're a pair. You know what I mean? Like, they're very bottom heavy.
Yeah, but like, still, they're still added. Like, they still have that layer of like Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, MJF, and Sammy Guevara, and they keep bringing people in on top of that.
Maybe Marty showing up soon.
So he was on Being the Elite. That's obviously the one sign he's back.
He's back, bro. Villain Enterprises,
yeah,
buying the Dark Order.
So you're bringing in the Revival, bringing in Cage, bringing in Matt Hardy, bringing in Brody Lee. You are running out of room at the
top. Well, they're going to start a second show eventually. People.
But I don't want a second. I don't want another like 2 hours of AEW every week. I like just having 2 hours of Dynamite, and Dark exists for me never to watch.
I think you still have to make an offer to Adam Cole, of all people.
Yeah, and WWE will probably make a counter offer, like, and wherever he goes, he goes.
I don't think you make an offer to like a Cameron Grimes level guy, but I think you make an offer to an Adam Cole, because like, regardless.
But you see, I kind of disagree. I think Cameron Grimes is like more valuable than all of the Dark nerds that were in that Battle Royal. So like, if you slot Cameron Grimes into one of those people's roles in AEW, the show gets better.
Adam Cole is like a legitimate like star.
And it would be a big blow to NXT to lose him.
Plus, like, that, there's also, yeah, there's that value, is like, you take the shot at NXT as well.
Hmm.
It'll be very interesting, and it will be a sign even more so that AEW is a bigger player than people think they are. Because, like, even though they obviously are...
They have John Moxley!
Hey, even though they obviously are, there's still some people that, like, you know what I mean? And I think those people would be the ones who would be like, oh, fuck, Adam Cole. Because, like, it's that fan base.
They have John Moxley!
Yeah. People have already discredited John Moxley.
Brings us to our main event in a fight pit match with special guest referee Kurt Angle. Timothy Thatcher defeated Matt Riddle. Did you like this more or less than their match it was a couple weeks ago?
It's ruled. It's about the same.
I didn't like the ref pause, and I didn't like the one count they did, but they did only one count. So
I didn't like the fake blood.
Yeah, it's like wrestling matches are built on momentum, and I thought this match started really well because they came flying out of the gate. Riddle did that cool like tumble off a cage into a kick or a knee or whatever it was, and they really got into it from the very beginning. And then they did the ref stoppage, and they slowed it down. They went to break, they came back, and then they just did the rest of their match, and the rest of the match was great. Stop doing ref stoppages. Stop doing counting spots, which thankfully they only did one of. But yeah, this was great. I like this a lot. I like this much more.
I'll give this match a lot of credit too, because this is the first time in a while, I don't know how long, but they've done, like, this is a brand new match type that has a brand new look that looks really cool.
Yeah, and it's felt different on NXT. And, like, I don't like grappling, and you see, I think grappling either has to be very stylish or very explosive, otherwise it's boring, and this was very explosive, so I was super into it.
Like, you know what the last time I felt like when I saw something like this was when I saw Ultimate X? Obviously not as spectacular, but just like visually distinct matchup and a visually distinct match type that you can go back to.
The problem is, though, I think this particular match type, to do it well, you need a particular Liam Neeson, you need a particular set of skills. And like, Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher have those particular set of skills. But
adversely, I think like chuck a ricochet in there and see what wacky shit he pulls off.
He will do a double moonsault off of the platform. That is true.
There was one problem I did have with this match, though.
What was it?
So, the way they built this matchup, right? Uh-huh. It was supposed to be like the Lion's Den. Like, it's like a shoot, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very serious... We've chucked him in there to beat the hell out of each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just get him in there and let them fight. And they immediately discredited that stipulation by having a cameraman in the pit. Like, yeah. If you're just chucking these two people, like, it's meant to be like the Colosseum and there's two warriors in there just fighting to the death, but you have a civilian in there. That'd be like if the UFC chucked a cameraman in while a fight was happening.
And, like, the thing that always baffled me is, like, TNA solved this problem 15 years ago.
But it's like, even with cage matches in WWE, they don't have a cameraman in there. Like, they've done it before, but I don't think every single cage match, they just have a guy sitting in the corner, especially in such a small cage.
And like, people are like, oh, you shouldn't shoot through the cage. And I agree, but cut holes. Like, TNA solved this problem 15 years ago. Just cut little camera holes in the cage to shoot through. This isn't rocket science.
I don't even mind if you have someone in the corner of like the little like perch area, because you had a ref up there. But having someone literally in the corner of the ring, in the cage, was like, it just instantly killed the credibility of the matchup to me.
I did like the idea of the Roman Colosseum. It's like, you will fight to the death, and you will be filmed by Jerome over here.
Ted will be in the corner shouting, "World Star."
It was a good match, though.
Yeah, but like, I remember watching that, I was like, like, because it's like, they portray it as brutal the entire time. Like, oh, we can't have a regular ref, and then we have to have Kurt in there, and Tim's teeth are flowing out of his mouth. But it's like, don't worry, Steve's in there.
Makes sure he gets all the good shots.
Yeah, I just thought that was very silly. Because like, imagine in a real MMA contest, if they just had a cameraman in the ring constantly moving around. Like, that's just insanely stupid.
Thatcher choked him out.
Yeah.
NXT.
Pun?
I didn't hate it as much as usual. That's a plus.
Sorry, I looked at my phone. I got a picture of Ellen Page sent to me.
We have like 3 minutes left on this podcast. Can you wait until then to look at your pictures of Ellen Page?
I mean, sorry.
Yeah. Match of the week.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll probably give it to the... As much as I just spent all that time ragging on it, I'll give it to Thatcher and Riddle because I really like that match.
Yeah, that was easily the best match this week. By a pretty large margin. There wasn't a bunch of great wrestling on AEW this week, was there?
No, like the opening six-man was probably the second best match.
Yes, it was fun, but nothing special. I won't be like, oh, that six-man that opened AEW Dynamite, whereas I will probably be like, oh yeah, the Fight Pit match. That was fun.
Like, which match am I more likely to go back and watch sometime? Probably that Fight Pit match. If nothing else, because it was visually cool.
Show of the week. I didn't hate or love either of these shows. I'm relatively indifferent to both of them. I think both had good points and both had bad points, but I'm probably leaning slightly toward AEW. Slightly.
Yeah, I'm about the same.
Poll, 75% AEW, 25% NXT, so it didn't matter who I voted for.
Once Garrett bothered to remember the password to the account.
Listen, because I have a new computer and it didn't, for some reason my Chrome password though an autosave, whereas my Firefox ones do. I should probably look into that, but alas,
thank God, there we go. Liam was here to save the day.
You did save us from not being able to post a poll.
And speaking of saving the day, go listen to me on a Marcus save in which I saved the day. It was a long podcast. It was like 2 hours almost, and
that's not that long.
Well, it's long because like our podcast is like an hour and 15 minutes our max.
Yes, this is going to be one of the longer episodes that we've done.
Yeah, so like, what do we talk about? We reviewed Double or Nothing, we did the 5 matches, and then we spent like, you got the Naito Omega debates that you wanted, so go listen to it for that. I wrote a little speech, and then we talked about like mid, well, not even mid, we talked about all of the 2010s of New Japan for like half an hour at the end.
So a fun time was had by all.
It was really fun. And there was some technical issues, but we got past them. And hopefully we'll give it a second shot with less technical issues one day.
And you'll be able to vote in the Omakase Awards this year.
I also want to get in on a draft. So this is my formal call out of John to get me in on a draft.
Well, there you go. You can follow us on Twitter at WarGamesPod, where you can vote in the poll. You can follow me on Twitter at Garrick, and you can follow me on Twitter at Larrikin. But again, he'll only let you in if you're a high-profile influencer.
If you have a tick, or if you've got a decent amount of followers, or if you have scoops. They're my 3 requisites.
If you would like more Elite coverage in your podcasting feed, you can listen to Everything Elite. If you'd like more WWE television coverage in your podcasting feed, you can listen to Shades and Ropes. If you'd like more Liam in your podcasting feed, you can listen to Wrestling Omakase. Thanks for listening. Man, bye-bye.
I have no ending.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off My Rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.